There's like a demand for more right now.
I think there's way more opportunity now than there ever has been. Even just if you consider writing for TV. Since the pandemic started, Netflix has exploded. Not just Netflix, but like all the other streaming services that are out there. So they have all these new TV shows. They have all these new documentaries. They have so many things, and they need wall-to-wall music. I think it's a heck of a lot easier to make a career in that world now than it ever has been. If you're creating stuff that is exciting and you're writing from the heart, other people are really feeling it, then there's a great chance that TV shows are gonna pick up your stuff.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the McCove Mindset Podcast. I'm Kevin McCove, and this week we are sitting down with my friend Rob Wells, a multi-platinum award-winning music producer and songwriter from Canada. He's worked with Ariana Grande, Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez, Adam Lambert, and the list goes on. His work's been featured in numerous films and TV shows, commercials, and video games worldwide. Rob's appeared as a music producer on Canadian Idol, House of the Carters, and The Next Star. And he has a star on the Mississauga Walk of Fame. I am so excited to bring this episode to you. And as always, if you like what you hear, hit like, hit subscribe, leave a comment, and let me know what you think. Let's get to it. What's going on, Rob? Welcome to the McCove Mindset Podcast, man.
Great to be here, man. I love it. Love it. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm glad that I could get you on. I want to know so much from your mind and your life experiences just like in this business. But how did you get started?
I hope I have something in this mind that I can share with you, man, that's worthy of putting on this podcast.
Yeah. Like, what was your first placement? Like, when you got started, not like, how'd you get started from the birth of your music, but like, how did you get started in the business?
It's kind of a long story. I was told all throughout my life, don't follow music don't get into music because you'll be living on the streets. I had teachers telling me this. I had my guidance counselor sit me down for a long time and just say, you're being an idiot for jumping into the music business. You're just not going to get anywhere. And I listened to everyone. And so I went and did many other things. I went to school for radio broadcasting because someone said I had a cool voice for radio and I didn't like that. I then went into graphic design, and that was kind of cool because I like the arts in total. But then I got deeply into animation when Terminator 2 and Jurassic Park all came out, and I just thought, that looks amazing. If I'm not going to be able to do music and make a living, then I'll do animation. And every evening and every weekend I would be playing music nonstop. And when I worked my animation job, I'd be wearing headphones doing the animation, but I'd be listening to music all the time. And every time that I was listening to music, you know, this is like 97, 98, right around there. And I'd be listening to like the first Destiny's Child stuff. And I'd be thinking like, I think I can do that. I think I can do those types of songs. Like, they're amazing songs. I'm not saying that I'm as good as someone like Darkchild or, you know, anything like that. But just, I remember hearing pop music of the time and Backstreet Boys and everything. And I'm like, I love this stuff. And I love working on this stuff at home. If only I could find a way to make this happen. You know, and I'm writing songs completely on my own at this point every evening and every weekend. And it wasn't until someone suggested co-writing to me that things started happening, things started shifting. It was introduced to me, the idea of getting together with someone else and writing a song with them, which felt really weird at the beginning. But then I began to see the light as more and more co-writes happened. But things started progressing really, really quickly once co-writing happened. And eventually I was asked to come to a writing camp in Toronto for a particular project that was on TV, and they wanted us to write a whole bunch of songs for this project. And I met 40 other writers there, and some of them were signed writers, some of them were unsigned writers like myself, just getting started. There were some artists that I knew of from Canada, and so I was like really excited to be there taking a week's vacation for my animation gig. And I wrote all these songs at this camp, and none of them made it onto the project. But I had met all these people.
So the story goes.
Yeah, I know.
I know that experience too well.
Totally. I was just thinking, some of these songs have to get on there, and that'll be my first break. But nothing happened. I went back to my animation gig, and I felt like I'd seen the gates of heaven open up for me, but then they closed shut. But then 2 years later, I got a call from someone that was at that camp, and they said, do you remember that song that we wrote day two of that camp? And, you know, would you be cool if we released it with another artist on radio? I was like, that would be amazing. That would be my first time getting anything out there. And basically, it got released. It got picked up by one of Canada's bigger radio stations called Chum FM. And the thing went into the top 10 in Canada, which doesn't really mean too much financially when you have a top 10 hit in Canada, because our population base is very low. But I just, that was my first sort of like hit, I guess. That was my first moment of something happening. And I literally quit my high paying animation gig the next week after the song went top 10. And just wow. Thought if I can make it happen once, then if I put all my eggs into this basket, then maybe I can make it happen again. And that was the first moment.
Now, like, I've had to figure out, like, how do I jigsaw all these different things together so that I can continue to do this, so I can sustain it, you know? And that's, I mean, that's how I even ended up here with, like, a podcast, right? Like, so this, yeah. This podcast is sponsored by the company Joyburst.
Cool.
And so Joyburst is running a talent search. So if you get on TikTok, you get on Instagram, you can sing about anything that brings you joy, any song. And if you hashtag Joyburst Talent Search, it qualifies you to enter. They'll load you into the site and you could win $10,000 cash. There's a Amazing. Potential song publishing deal. Like there's real opportunity out here, like through this company. And I advise that everybody enter into the Joyburst Talent Search. It ends at the end of March. But
so cool.
That whole opportunity to like do this podcast came out of like that, which is something different, you know. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I'm a podcaster per se, you know. I'm a songwriter, and I had done things like podcasting. I had a podcast back in like 2018 2019, and obviously like I wrote a song for this brand and that kept me in conversation. So when they wanted to do like another campaign, I was able to really throw the idea out there at them that's like, hey, you know, if you are really trying to meet that intersection of your brand and music creators and music professionals and stuff, like I may be able to help you bridge that gap.
Cool.
And they went for it, you know. So it's like, wow, that's something new and different. That was an avenue that I hadn't really explored before that can become a revenue stream and also is like fun and cool. And I do get to talk about music, so it is still music related. And that's just like, yeah, like you're saying, there's opportunities out here to do things that you love, but maybe like connecting it to other stuff.
I think there's way more opportunity now than there ever has been. You know, even just if you consider writing for TV, you know, since the pandemic started, like Netflix has exploded, not just Netflix, but like all the other streaming services that are out there that have exploded with people basically turning to their TVs for entertainment. So they have all these new TV shows, they have all these new documentaries, they have so many things, and they need wall-to-wall music from top to bottom. And, you know, it's I think it's a heck of a lot easier to make a career in that world now than it ever has been. There's just so much opportunity. They're so thirsty for great product out there. And if you're creating stuff that is exciting and you're writing from the heart and you know other people are really feeling it, then there's a great chance that TV shows are gonna pick up your stuff.
I've been a beneficiary of that. You know, yeah, like
of course.
I've been a massive beneficiary of the expansiveness of the sync world. And especially with like everything moving to digital and yeah. Even all the advertising that has moved to digital. And that's really like started to explode because advertising campaigns, they're not 6 months anymore. You know, they're 30 days to 90 days, which means that there's more. They need more ads. They need more music. They need, you know,
that's right.
there's like a demand for more right now. But I think where the hurdle is that while you can say there's a demand for more and there's opportunity, it's, well, how do we get to be part of the opportunity? How do we get to be some of the more? So how did you find your way into some of those avenues?
Honestly, it was from being interested in people. You know, I was really interested in people and how they got to where they got. You know, like I remember as a kid, I would take the bus downtown. I grew up in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada. And I would go to the record store and I would buy a record. I'm sounding like it's from the 1800s, basically, but it's, I would get a record for those of you that remember 33 and a third records, man. I would go and I would open it up on, and I'd walk home and I'd read all the credits. I'd read everything, like who played drums on this, who A&R'd this, who was the producer, who wrote the lyrics. And I'd read through all the lyrics and I'd try to imagine the song before I heard it. You know, like I'd go through everything. So I knew so much about the record before I got home. It was a 2-hour walk to get home. And of course it was uphill both ways, man. You know that.
In the
10
snow.
Feet of snow. That's right. Of course. Of course. With like gale force hurricanes going on and everything. But you know, I was really interested in people like that. And so as I got older, and I started getting into the business a little bit, I was really curious about a lot of people. And as the internet came out and started getting better and better, and you could connect with more people, I would start reaching out to people all the time that I was a big fan of. And, I would just say to them, you know, like, this is what I tell everybody. If you want to get to know people, the very best way to do it is, well, the worst way to do it is to say, hey, I'm so-and-so and I've got a great song that you got to listen to right now. You know, cause like they're bombarded with people like that, that are saying, you got to listen to my music right now and you'll be put way at the bottom of the list. But if you're a big fan of what they've done, like if you watch a TV show, if you watch a film or you listen to a record or whatever, and you find out who's the team that worked on it, who's the music supervisor, who's all that, all these people are easily found on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on all these things. And you can easily send them a message that just says, holy crap, I just listened to such and such. And I love the music that's there. I love your selection. I love your choice of whoever it is that you're approaching. If it's a producer, you can talk about that. If it's a music supervisor, you can talk about the song selection that was done for that particular episode, everything. You basically pay them a compliment, and it's an honest compliment because you really believe it. And when you send a message like that, you almost always get a response from people like that because they're like, holy crap, I'm doing a good job. Somebody likes what I've done, you know, and nobody's trying to use me to like get up the ladder or anything like that. Like it's just, here's somebody that legitimately loves what I've done and they'll instantly write you back 9 times out of 10. This is kind of like how I've gotten to know a lot of people in the industry is just by reaching out. You know, for example, there's a guy that I grew up listening to when I was 12, I had a newspaper route and I had a Sony Walkman and I'd be listening to this guy, Corey Hart, Canadian artist. He had this song called I Wear My Sunglasses at Night, and that was his big song.
Oh yeah, that song was a banger.
Totally. Anyways, I reached out to him and I just said, dude, you don't know me from anybody else, but I just want to let you know that your music totally inspired me to like follow sort of like a synth production style and everything. And it's just like, you were a huge influence. And the dude got back to me within 30 minutes, wrote me back from Bahamas and said, I'm coming to Toronto. I'd love to sit down with you and talk with you and thank you for this nice message. And I said, well, why are you coming to Toronto? He said, I'm coming to play a show. I said, do you have a keyboard player? No, I don't. Would you like one? He said, come to the rehearsal. And I became part of Corey Hart's band because of this. And I played his farewell show in front of 80,000 people. I met Shania Twain thanks to Corey Hart. I've been to his place in Bahamas so many times. Writing for his kids, their artist careers and everything. And it's like, it's nuts.
Just like a cold message that was
totally
genuine and sincere, that was showing your appreciation for someone.
Totally, totally. And dude, I can tell you the same thing for me too. Like I receive so many messages on, you know, something like Instagram every single day where people are like, yo, you got to listen to my song. I'm like, actually, I don't. I'm pretty busy, you know. But if somebody reaches out to me, this one dude reached out to me years ago and said, hey, I just want to let you know I'm in Mexico and I'm going through experimental cancer treatment and it's really painful. And the only thing that gets me through the day is listening to your song first thing in the morning. And wow. Like that to me is like what we're all about. That's why we're doing this, right? Is to connect with others, to help others. Yeah, we want to pay the bills, but it's just like, if you can connect with people that way in the industry and actually be of service to someone, you know, rather than being selfish, if you can be of service, that's like the best thing to forge relationships, I find, with people in the industry. And if you're really true and genuine and honest about it, you can move forward in the friendship. And then when the time is right, if you feel like the time is right, you can say, by the way, and I don't mean to cross any boundaries or anything, but just, I do have a song that maybe you'd like to hear, you know, right. And they will for sure say, send it immediately. Right now, because you've got this great relationship, they really like talking to you, they know that you're no drama, and suddenly you say, well, I have something that maybe you could use, and then you're in and you're at the top of the pile and they're going to listen to it. And if they really like it, then they're going to say, what else do you have? And then you can send them your like number two and number three song. And then if they like that, they'll say, what else do you have? And then you can send them 10 songs. And then you're in, and then suddenly you're like the favorite of this music supervisor, that they're always going to be coming to you and asking you for things. And you can do that with not just one person. You can do that with multiple people.
Loads if you're of people. Really
totally. Yeah. I mean, there are 8 billion people on the planet, man. You can do it with so, and not just in your region, not just in your local area, because the internet lets you go everywhere. For those of you that don't know about the internet, it's this thing.
For those of you who are on it right now but don't know about it.
Like... That's right. That's right. But literally you can go to any region of the world and start doing business with people. It doesn't matter where you are, man. If you're doing good quality work and you're a good, honest person that likes to hang out with people and get to know them, you know, legitimately, and not just try to use them for climbing up the ladder. You know, be friends with people first, and then find a way if there's a way that you can help each other out after you're friends.
That is so true. And that gives me to the last thing that I wanted to ask you about before I let you go.
Sure.
And thank you for your time.
Oh, dude, anytime, man. I think the world of you, man. I love hanging out with you, and just I feel bad because I've been doing most of the talking, but this guy, I have sat back and I've listened to you talk about a whole host of things, and you've always blown me away, man. You're super smart. You're super kind. You're super sweet. And I love all of that. You're super talented as well. Like just all those things and just all wrapped up in one human being. And you're a great looking guy too. It's so not fair, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Literally. Pleasure. Thank you. And it means a lot to me coming from you, you know, somebody that I value as a human being above all, but also as a professional. And you know, like that, it just means a lot. So thank you.
Right back at you, man.
I wanted to ask you about your app. What got you into saying, like, I want to launch an app and, like, you know, have the keyboard? Like, I mean, it's super useful to people who don't play. I run into so many songwriters or even lyricists who are just like, I don't have any facility on an instrument.
Yeah.
And this just, like, shortcuts everything for them, where they can get all the chords by kind of pressing one button. Talk to me about the app.
Yeah, well, it was literally from that. It was hearing from so many different people, you know, because, like, usually I play piano in a session. And I've literally heard people say all the time, man, if I could play like that. And I'm not saying I'm a wizard on the piano. I'm really not. I can just, you know, get by and play
modest,
chords.
But...
No, I mean, I basically ripped off Bruce Hornsby my whole life, right? Like that's the way I play piano, basically. As soon as The Way It Is came out in 86, I was like, that's the way I want to play
right
piano.
That right there. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. You know, like I heard a lot of people just say, if I could only play piano like you, if I could play chords like that so easily and without having to think about it, because I've got all these melodies in my head and I've got all these lyrics. Even my wife said the same thing too. Like she said, you know, because I'm busy a lot. She's like, I wish I didn't have to wait for you, because I've got all these thoughts. I've got all these ideas going on in my head of songs that are, I hear the melody, I hear the words, but I don't know how to figure out the chords on the piano at all. So I just heard it from enough people and I just thought, is there something else out there that's like that? And yeah, there's a ton of programs out there that are great. Like for example, GarageBand, they've got a keyboard on there that you can play, but when you play it, it feels so artificial. Like it just feels really just robotic and there's not much love in there, you know? So I just thought, well, can I create something that really feels like you're accessing my chordal abilities on the piano? And can I create an app that is so simple to use, that doesn't have all the bells and whistles, so that everyone from my mother, who's almost, you know, 79, all the way down to my daughter, who's 3, or not, she just turned 4, but they can all play it and they can all use this app and it all makes sense to them. And so literally that's what I thought about. And then the next part, of course, is how do I technically make an app? And that was the big stumbling block for me. I was just like, I have no idea how to program or how to do anything like that. Of course, you can hire somebody, but is there somebody that, you know, I could really work with? Because to create an app is a lot of back and forth and figuring things out. And I didn't think about this, but I have a relative that programs all the time. And I reached out to them and said, do you have any interest in creating an app? And they said, you won't believe it, but literally today I said to my wife, I wish I could work on creating apps. So it was like perfect timing.
Alignment. And so,
So I just basically created the interface through animation and created the samples. There's over 1,300 samples that are in there, because the way it works is that...
That's why it sounds so good. You just replay and replay and replay.
That's it. So basically, like every time that you press the same chord... you get a different version of that same chord. Whether the voicings have changed or whether the velocity has changed a little bit, so that it feels like if you play it four times, it basically loops, so that it feels like it's a real person playing this. So you don't need to worry about like hitting harder or hitting softer or anything. You just, every time that you hit it, it just moves on to the next sample of that chord. So, and then there's three variations of chordal style. So there's one that's like really simple, kind of like Hey Jude by the Beatles, like that style of playing. Then there's another one where it gets a little bit more flowery, and then by the time you get to the third version of the intensity of the chords, it feels a lot like somebody like Hornsby playing these chords on there. So you can just bounce between, do you want a simple sounding chordal structure, or do you want something that feels like a little bit more intense and just you know, fun, but very easy to play. I know there's been a lot of complaints actually by some very techie people where they're like, you know, how come I can't record myself? How come I can't export the MIDI? How come I can't do all sorts of things like that? And my answer to that is basically you can't do any of those things at a real piano either. You know,
right.
It's just a tool.
Yep.
For somebody who can just be on the bus with headphones on. And they're like, I have an idea. I'm going to whip out my phone and be able to do this right wherever I am. I'm on an airplane. I'm in the middle of the forest going for a hike, and I've got this musical idea and I just want to write it down. It's helped out a lot of people. People have written tons of songs because of it, and they weren't able to do that before. So just to be of service to people, man, that's the whole thing, man, is just if you find
you
that
doing what you do, adding yeah. value to the world, man. That's what you do. You add value to the world.
Likewise, my friend. Likewise. You know, sharing your knowledge that you have and everything else that you do, it's adding value to the world. And may we all do that. May we all leave the world a better place than the way that we found it. You know, that's really the way, you know, it's the only way that we're going to progress as a species if we lean towards positivity always, when we see that everybody is just ants on the anthill trying to do their thing and everything is beautiful and you just try to make everything as good as possible and again leaving that world in a better place than the way you found it. That's, to me, that's what it's all about, for sure.
Thank you so much for coming on to the podcast, brother.
I pleasure,
appreciate
man.
You so much.
Oh, likewise, man. Likewise. I'm sorry that there's a time limit on here. Sorry, there's a very Canadian way we say sorry. Sorry.
Sorry. Is not the,
yeah, that's right.
It's okay. You know, I've been, my experience with people in Canada has increased like tenfold over the last like year or so, because the Joybirds company is actually, it's based out of Canada.
Oh, so, cool.
Yeah, so every person that I'm talking to in the company and different things, like everyone's in Canada. So I'm like, I feel like I'm going to have to come up there and take a trip.
Yeah,
I need to visit.
Listen, I know there's definitely some jerks that I can point you to in Canada, but by and large, I think we're pretty decent people. The joke is, how do you get 1,000 Canadians out of the swimming pool? And the answer is you simply ask, would everyone please get out of the pool?
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for the laughs. Thank you for the insight.
And, pleasure, brother.
Looking forward to catching up with you soon, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for doing this, man, and sharing your knowledge and everything else you do. Thank you so much.